Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
We are in week two of our series, and we are talking through this concept of prayer, what it means to just interact with our Creator God. And as we jump in today, as we're going to do every week during this series, would you join me in the reading of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last week, we started talking about just the first verse of this prayer, and we looked at this power called prayers of adoration, these prayers where we revere God for who he is, his power, his might, and we revere him. And at the same time, we mix that with the intimacy that Jesus calls us to. Because here in the Lord's Prayer, this astounding thing happens where we are invited to call him Dad, to call him Father, and it changes everything. And I hope that this past week you were able to bring your prayers of adoration to God and that new and fresh revelation came your way. I hope that some of you took up the invitation to actually dress in your finest and spend an hour in the presence of God. And I know that many of you spent time going to our prayer room across the street. I know even life groups went there. And I went over and I saw some of the phrases of adoration and the attributes and characteristics of God that you wrote there on the mural. I saw Prince of Peace and author and finisher of our faith, the zealous one, the righteous and reliable redeemer. And I just want to remind you, if you haven't made it to the upper room yet, we have extended hours during this month as we talk about prayer. It's a sacred, beautiful space that we get to have on our campus. And if you haven't made it over there, can I encourage you to do so? But today we continue on in the Lord's Prayer. And today we look at verse 10. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Today we're talking about this concept of bringing heaven to earth. I hear many people pray, even in our community, Lord, in Salem as it is in heaven. And we pray these prayers of bringing heaven to earth. But what does this really mean? I want to make sure we're all on the same page with this. So would you step into the classroom for just a moment with me? We need to define what we mean by heaven and what we mean by earth. And heaven is God's space and earth is our space. This is taken from a video that the Bible Project did that I still believe is their best video. It's their first video they ever did called Heaven and Earth. And I encourage you, if you haven't seen it, to take a look this week. But the kingdom of God are the places where these dimensions overlap, where the ways of God, his rule and reign is put onto the realities that we have on earth. And when Jesus came to earth, he inaugurated the kingdom of God. He said it is here and now, and it started to move forward. And then he commissioned us, his people, his church. He chooses to you, it's us, to further his kingdom. And where we take up space, we bring heaven to earth. We occupy that space. A simple definition of the kingdom of God is his rule and his reign in our world. And the thing is, it's both a present reality as we're talking about right now, but it's also our glorious and future hope. You see, everything will not be perfect until he returns. We don't get to be the ones that usher in perfection and return us to a state of the Garden of Eden. No, that will happen. Everything will be made new and complete when Christ returns. This is our future hope. And here's the deal. I believe that many of us in this room grew up in faith traditions, really solid biblical Christian teaching, where we emphasize so much what we are saved from, our sin, our past, our shame. And that's a really important thing to talk about. And oftentimes we talk about what we're saved to. It's as though we're escaping the earth and one day we are saved to the new heaven and the new earth. And that is also good to talk about. That is our future hope. But the truth is that oftentimes we find ourselves not talking as much of what we're saved for in the current, our present reality. You see, the gospel is this. The gospel is that God has come. He has inaugurated a kingdom. His ways are being manifest on earth. They're being released. They're being revealed. They're being integrated into what is happening here. Again, it will not be perfect until he returns and everything is made new, as it says in Revelation 21. But it's important that we have this foundation of the kingdom of God, of heaven coming to earth, of God's space inhabiting ours and often through us. Without that, you might look at our vision statement and say, wow, that's a pretty bold statement. Our vision statement is a city at peace with God. I use the biggest font that I was allowed to use because I do not want you to miss this. But the bottom line is we believe this, and we believe that we as the church have been commissioned to bring his peace to our city. That is our commissioning. That is our vision. We join other churches. We join other incredible organizations to see this reality happen, to see our city look a bit more the way God intended it to be. And it all begins with on earth as it is in heaven prayers. You see, prayer is the key that unlocks the access to understanding what God is doing. Prayer is the currency of the kingdom. Would you pause for a minute and just consider this question? What would heaven look like if it inhabited my classroom, my campus, my workplace, my home, my house, my gym, my library, our hospitals, our courts, our Capitol building? Contemplate that for a second, because that is the invitation that we see here today. Jesus and his rule and reign placed over our current realities in the places that we step. Today, we are looking at how prayer shapes our priorities to match God's priorities. Over the last few months, and even preparation for this sermon series, I've been talking to people about prayer. And many people are asking the same questions. They're just asking them in different ways. Some of them ask them really nuanced, as though they want to just make sure they're not offending God or me or I don't know, but they're just kind of going around it to get to the same question that others are asking with such fierce directness. But many of us are asking the same questions. Honestly, we're talking about prayer, but does it make any difference? Do our prayers actually change things here on earth? Some of you in the room are like, absolutely, I have one or two stories. And some of you in the room are sitting and saying, yeah, that's a great question. I ask it all the time because I've been asking for this same request for 7 years and nothing has changed. It's a good question. It's a fair question. It's a question that I want us to wrestle with. And today I even want to share this framework. And I know that this framework's not going to answer all your questions. I think it's going to create more. And I want you to know I celebrate that. And I celebrate the mystery that is prayer, because it's a gift. It's a gift. The pastor and author Eugene Peterson shares this biblical framework of three different types of prayers that we offer God. And I've changed a lot of the titles of it. I just feel this is less confusing, but let me share with you these three types of prayers. They're prayers where we know best, they're prayers of God knows best, and then there's this middle voice, this where we know best together, God and us, his people. Let me explain what I mean with these. Let me start with we know best praying. We know best praying starts with us. We are the initiators and we bring our requests to God. We bring our agenda to him. Now, understand the motives of this are generally good. They're innocent, but when it's taken to the extreme, it's kind of this we're petitioning God to intervene. And it's almost like we're saying, God, I got something to tell you and you're not going to want to miss out on this one. You want to pay attention to me, God. It's important to remember that sometimes our requests are our requests. There are desires, and they're not always necessarily in line with kingdom principles, even when we think they really for sure are. Now, it's easy to discern this type of prayer when it's more of that wishful thinking, genie in a bottle type prayer. Those are pretty obvious. Those are kind of our shallow prayers, and yet we still find ourselves slipping into those sometimes. I offer those prayers all the time. I want the ducks to beat the beavers, but I don't want to offend 50% of the people in this room. I want the Bovine Blue Buffalo Smash Burger to have the same caloric intake and nutrition as a bowl of mixed vegetables. I want to live in this beautiful state, but I only want it to rain at night so that it remains green, but I never get wet. You see where I'm going with this stuff, but we offer these types of prayers, and it's really interesting that Hollywood, there was this movie Bruce Almighty that came out and provided a bit of critique to this. Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, is this guy that's given godlike qualities for this short period of time, and he's overwhelmed at all the prayer requests that are coming his way. It's just way too much. His solution is to create a deal where he's able to answer everyone at once with a yes, your prayers are granted. But what unfolds next is a lot of temporary happiness and surprise, but a whole lot of chaos and a whole lot of prayers canceling one another out. In fact, all the sporting events suddenly are ending in ties. And it's an interesting critique. But the bottom line is these are more shallow examples. If we're to dig a little bit deeper, I think it's important for us to understand that sometimes in our prayers, even subconsciously, we're laying our worldview, our personal beliefs, our preferences, even our politics over things that God might see a bit differently. I've been in separate prayer meetings the last couple of months. I pray with different clergy in our city, and one of my callings is to be a middle voice and to be a person of peace and unity in these different settings. And it is fascinating to be with this group of clergy and to hear how they pray, and then go and be with this group of clergy and hear how they pray, because they're all honoring God. They all sign off on the Nicene Creed. They're all looking to bring peace to their city, but they look really different. And so often in both settings, they're praying these prayers and they're like, obviously, God, it makes sense to you. Would you move in this way? And then this group is saying, obviously, God, it makes sense to you. And they're praying in this way. And my warning to us is that sometimes when we start praying, obviously, God, this makes sense to you, we have moved a little bit to our agenda. And might our pride beginning to come in a little bit? Suddenly, we're not talking about a soccer game ending in a tie. See, there's a key here. This, obviously, it makes sense to you, is a light that should go on and say, am I praying my agenda or am I listening to yours? Please understand, as I talk about we know best prayers, that petitioning God is not wrong. That prayers of declaration are not wrong. In fact, we'll devote all of next week's sermon to those biblical, really good concepts that we want to invite you into. But there is a bit of a warning for us that sometimes we can place our agendas over God's will. Sometimes when we do this, we begin to ignore his deep love for us, his kingdom purposes, and his sovereignty. But there's that word, sovereignty. It's a powerful word. It's a word of reverence, but it's a word that when we swing too far to his sovereignty, it also creates these God knows best praying. Look, God does know best. I assure you, he knows best. But what I'm saying here is that sometimes when we swing all the way to the extreme and just rely on his sovereignty, what it does is it creates a passivity in us. It creates a level of resignation in us. We're saying, God, you are in control. You are all-knowing. You know what's going to happen anyway. All that is true. But then it leads us to the conclusion, so why am I praying in the first place? I'm just going to let God be God. And we find ourselves asking for nothing. In fact, we see it as uber spiritual because we're emptying ourselves of our own desires and finding contentment in whatever he brings our way. This unfortunately leads to deep complacency and inaction. And there are seasons in church history where you see the church move into this. In fact, there was a season in church history where William Carey saw this happening so much, and he brought this prophetic vision and calling, and he said, this is wrong. We are inactive. We are simply relying on the sovereignty of God. We are a people that need to be praying and declaring the truth of who God is in his kingdom. And with that, he ignited what we would call the great century of the gospel going to the ends of the earth. With that, an awakening took over throughout Europe. And you might be here today and you might be saying, you know what? I don't know that I fall in this extreme of we know best praying. And I really, I'm not passive. I don't fall into this God knows best passive praying where it's just about his sovereignty. And great, keep it up. But as your pastor, I want to confess to you that I'm struggling even right now falling into a little bit of this passivity level. You see, on a local level, praying for our city and praying for my family and praying for many of you, I feel like I'm dialed in. I feel like I'm active. I'm engaging. I'm seeking what God wants for us and for our city, and vision is coming, and I find myself petitioning and pursuing his voice. But on a global level lately, I'm tired. I'm getting a bit complacent. I feel like there's days where I'm throwing the towel and I'm like, done petitioning you, God, on earth as it is in heaven. There's millions of people praying for peace in Ukraine and Gaza and Congo and Sudan, and yet nothing seems to be changing. Are you even there? Are our prayers making any difference? This seems good to me, and it seems like it would be good to you for peace to somehow come to these areas of conflict, and yet not much is happening. So I find myself struggling to not fall into prayers of, hey, you are sovereign, your will be done. You obviously know something I don't, and leaving it there. But it's a battle. But here's the thing, Jesus didn't pray either way. He didn't pray we know best, and he didn't pray God knows best prayers. He modeled a different way. Eugene Peterson calls it the middle voice. I think maybe a better way to say it would be we're better together. You see, this is where our active participation is invited. It starts with God, but it becomes a two-way conversation. We're joining with what God is doing, and our prayers allow us an inside look. We are let in to what his kingdom is doing, how it is advancing, what is going on in the heavenly realms. And then we're invited to participate in it. Because the crazy thing in all of this kingdom of God thing is that the Creator God chooses to use us to be his image bearers, to represent him, to bring heaven to earth and make things the way they were intended to be. I love how this is summarized in the book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, the book by Tyler Staton, that multiple people this week have said, praying like fools, living like monks. No, it's the other way around. But here's what he says. He says, God's action doesn't depend on our initiative. Neither are we entirely passive. God has freely chosen to act almost exclusively in partnership with his people. When we pray, we both participate in God's action and benefit from God's action. We join God. All of our interaction with God in prayer happens here, the middle voice, the voice of participation. Prayer is the currency of the kingdom. As we find our middle voice, it's actually in alignment. We sync up with the ways of the kingdom and we manifest that here on earth. We're given eyes to see the world as Jesus sees the world. The scholar N.T. Wright describes it as though us kingdom ambassadors are looking through a pair of binoculars, and in the one lens, we are given a glimpse of the way the world should be, the beauty, the creative beauty, the justice, things operating in love the way they should operate. But in the other lens, we're given a lens of grief. Lens of grief because that's not always reality. And we see the injustices and we see the evil and we see the violence. But when we bring those into focus, we see the world as Jesus currently sees the world. and we're given his eyes of compassion, and we're given his kingdom eyes, and we see the cross where perfect grief and perfect love met one another, and a redemptive vision was unleashed. When we look through with kingdom eyes, we see that there is a plan that has been put into place, and we, as kingdom people, begin to see this redemptive plan unfold. We're given kingdom eyes. We're let in. And here's the deal. When we begin to engage with this, when we begin to experience and receive revelation for God of what he wants to do in our city, in our neighborhoods, and in our homes, we also have a rubric that helps us know if it was from him. It's scripture, because scripture gives us all these clues of what the kingdom of God will look like when it starts to enter an area on our earth. In fact, one of the first things Jesus did when he inaugurated the kingdom, he finds himself in the synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth, and he's given a scroll and he's asked to read. The scroll is Isaiah 61. This is what it says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, and to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who are in mourning that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks planted for his own glory. These are the signs of the kingdom. Jesus rolled up the scroll and said, "This is fulfilled today in me." And then shortly after, in Matthew 6, he tells the people that are following him, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and you will be given everything that you need." When he ascended into heaven, he promised the Holy Spirit. And he commissioned us, the church. He let us in on what was unfolding in the redemptive plan that would come to our earth. We have a saying around here: we get to bring the peace, the power, and the presence of Jesus with us wherever we step. We, the bride of Christ, the church, are his plan to bring heaven to earth in the here and now, to occupy spaces. And it starts with prayer, because prayer shapes our priorities to match God's priorities. Do my prayers change anything? I think they do. But one thing I'm very confident that they change is it changes us. Regardless of whether our prayers are being answered and manifest out there, I know that they change us. And I know that when we pray Matthew 6:10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," it begins to shape us. It begins to form us, because we are given a vision for a better world. We are given a vision for a world of peace, for a world of hope, for a world where we speak up against the injustices that are happening, for a world where we lead people to new levels of righteousness and holiness. We're given a hope for heaven when we pray this prayer, a hope for what will one day be. We step back and we consider his sovereignty as we pray these prayers. We are shaped into our identity as Christ followers, and we walk in our high calling to live righteously, to do what pleases God. And these kingdom prayers always call us to participation. They call us not to just be ambassadors that pray, but ambassadors that act, that represent and bring his kingdom where we step. You see, praying "Your kingdom come, your will be done" ensures that we aren't simply asking God to bless our agenda. We're asking God how we can participate in his agenda, in his kingdom. And it moves us and centers us in a God-centered vision. He bursts it, we call it out, and we live into it. I want to leave us with one invitation today. It's a pretty active invitation. But there's this new app that recently came out, and the app is called Holy Here. And I want to see what we as a church can do in our city. And I want to encourage you to download this app. Here's a QR code right here. But remember, Holy Here. Look it up later if you want to. Get this app in the store. It's $19.99, but we have a special discount for you today. It's free. It's just free. It's really not $19.99. It's always free. It's a beautiful thing. I'm just trying to like help you out here. Holy Here. Here's what this app does. You go on there and you'll see a picture of the world. And you can start a prayer walk. And then when you're done walking, you can write some notes of what you heard God say about his kingdom. You can write some of the things that you prayed. You can write some attributes of God or things that you heard. And then you end your walk. And it leaves a red line on every place that you walked. The places where you brought the peace, power, and presence of Jesus in our city. Here's what our city currently looks like. There's a lot of red downtown around our church because our staff tried it out. And this is what happened one afternoon when we talked about this app and we released and we went out for 40 minutes and we walked around. But in a couple of weeks, I want to bring this map back. And I want us to take up space, and I want to see tangible proof that we brought God's presence and his kingdom to these different areas of our city and throughout our Willamette Valley. But as you walk, would you consider these questions? Lord, show me where your kingdom needs to come here on my street, on my campus, wherever it might be. Ask God what it would look like for heaven to inhabit this space. Ask him for his eyes. Ask him for a vision. Let him be creative and imaginative with you. And finally, these should always lead to us asking the questions, what would kingdom action? What might you be inviting me into in this space? It's part of our God-given vocation to be image bearers of Jesus, to bring his presence wherever we go, to bring healing, restoration, and redemption where we step. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Again, we thank you for these disciples that had the courage to ask you, teach us to pray. And we thank you for the words that you shared that guide us today. Lord, as we walk into our calling as kingdom ambassadors, would you give us ears to hear what you're saying, eyes to see the injustices that are all around, and would you call us to action? And Lord, would you bring clarity on what your agenda is for our city, a city that you love deeply? Lord, we are humbled that you choose to use us to bring peace to it. So guide us with great clarity and discernment this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.